Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
America Tonight, each and every show, we kick it around with our pals from Talk Radio News. Justin Duckham is with us, and he's heading out to Baltimore today. And Justin, I mean, of course, what we're seeing, as I was reading a lot of editorials today, the focus is, part of the focus is on the power base, meaning it starts at the top in the executive branch. And do you think that this is really, really testing Obama and whether or not he can deal with what's happening in Baltimore?
I certainly think it is a test. I think probably more importantly, it's also a very big test for Loretta Lynch, who is assuming this as her first real duty as Attorney General. But certainly this is something that reflects on Obama. This is, the third period of civil unrest that has happened under his, sort of watch. And he certainly is facing a lot of criticism for it. Yesterday, he spoke about it at length, saying essentially that the U.S. Has the ability to ease these sort of tensions to make sure this doesn't happen, but that he doesn't believe it can happen in the current political environment. He also condemned the violence and urged America to do some soul-searching at large to really take into account that this is something that goes beyond just police. This is something that goes beyond just rioting and really is sort of a societal problem that you can't really necessarily fix as president.
And so, you talk about Lynch, and that's what's happening. Everyone's saying she needs to go to Baltimore. She needs to visit Baltimore. Do you think will they extend this curfew? It's through the rest of the week, right?
This is going to be lasting until May 4th or May 5th, I believe, actually. It's going to end Tuesday. It's a week-long one. I think it may be extended if, the unrest continues. Last night we saw a number of protesters, a good chunk of them, come out. They were quickly dispersed following the curfew to the point that it was just a couple of dozen. But we still have ongoing threats today. We, of course, have the Orioles playing the White Sox behind closed doors. We still have a city that's very much on edge. We still have quite a few businesses that are boarded up. So considering the criticism that the mayor got for the slow police response initially, I wouldn't be surprised to see the curfew extended.
Yeah, and so much of the focus obviously is there, how the police are handling it. It's every second you turn around, there's something on Twitter, because you know that. We live in a 140-character world. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that city. It's sad, as I said, watching it be torn apart. I've talked about this, Justin, on the air a lot, and people have called in with their thoughts on what should happen, and I'm sure they'll continue to do that. 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. I want to turn to something else quickly, because now this is sort of announcement season. It's kind of like wedding season, so people are announcing in a different way. And yes, I want to be president. And Bernie Sanders is going to announce that he's in the game. He's saying that, he's going to do that on Thursday, or at least his people around him are saying that. Are you surprised that Sanders has decided he's going to run?
I am surprised. I, didn't really expect that he would be doing this. Previously I had seen him give a number of speeches on this topic where he addressed the potential candidacy. And one of the things that he said was that he would not run unless if he found a way to make it work, if he found a way that he could actually make a difference. And, when he was saying that, sounds kind of like typical political talk, but he actually got into depth about that and noted how hard it would be for him to raise money. He noted that even if he got about $300 million from everybody in his support network, he would still be, far behind the numbers that's going to be raised by the Koch brothers and other big donors. He acknowledged very plainly that he doesn't really have a good donor base. He doesn't know where to go for those, huge million-dollar checks. And if you look at his Senate contributions, those typically come from labor groups. They're not necessarily giving, the huge numbers that presidential candidates typically expect. So I think he must have found a way to do it. I think he must have found a way to effectively get his message out there. He does look like he's going to be a pretty interesting addition to this race, to say the least.
Yeah, to say the least, I absolutely agree with you. All right, Justin, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. You have a good one.
So Justin Duckham heading to Baltimore, excuse me, and, you know, talking about what's happening in Baltimore, as I said, and what should happen. Let me tell you, we've got a giant update, and one that we wondered about as to whether or not there was a previous injury with Freddie Gray. And now what the reports are saying in this investigation is that Freddie Gray, whose death, of course, triggered all of this looting and rioting and no baseball game and all that kind of stuff, might have tried to harm himself inside the police van. The Washington Post reported that late on Wednesday night, and they say that there was another prisoner who was in the van that is swearing to it. The other prisoner is saying that's what happened, that he tried to do that. So that kind of puts another spin as well on Baltimore and all the mayhem and everything that's happened in the wake of Freddie Gray. Because think about this. If the police officers didn't do anything wrong in getting him, arresting him, that whole thing, gets in the van, he'd come off of a surgery where he was out and doing what he was doing, and then he tried to intentionally injure himself. Well, that's a high price to pay for people who don't know what the circumstances were and immediately went to that fifth gear of here we go again with the cops and a black man and what did they do and why did this happen. And lo and behold, there is many more things, I think, related to this story that are bound to come out. There's been arrests, there's been some nasty stuff a couple of days ago, seemingly okay again tonight because you've got the curfew in place. What happens afterwards? What happens when the curfew is gone? That's why that timeline is such a big deal. Does everything go back to, quote, normal? And also, what else are we going to find out about Freddie Gray and his death and whether or not this was such an intentional thing in the van that he did it to himself? And lo and behold, look how it ends up. It's a sad situation no matter what, but it certainly taints everything in between. And it's amazing how immediately Baltimore went to the explode part because people were told to do certain things, and they did them. And they did them. In the meantime, too, we were talking about Bernie Sanders, and he does make it official. Because he knew everybody was waiting for the big announcement saying that he's running for president. So how about that? You have Hillary Clinton for the Democrats, and now you have an independent in Bernie Sanders. And what does that take away from Hillary Clinton? He certainly has his fans, Sanders does. And he could attract an interesting crowd, I think, of voters, depending on what he says when he's out on the campaign trail. Because I think there's people that aren't as aware of Bernie Sanders, even if they've seen him quoted here and there, or they've seen him on a show occasionally here or there. I still don't think people are very, very familiar with Bernie Sanders. He's certainly not a household name, let's put it that way. So be curious to watch how his campaign unfolds, for sure. Hey, coming up in this hour of America Tonight, we're going to talk about the relief efforts in Nepal. Fascinating stuff from the VP of Humanitarian Emergencies in the UNICEF Fund about the stockpiles and how they get it and how they coordinate it on the ground. That's coming up soon here in this hour of America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back.
So as we kick the can down the road in Baltimore, I mentioned Washington Post and the fact that they had the story about Freddie Gray and the fact that another prisoner was saying that Gray banged himself against the walls during the ride. And if he's coming off of a surgery, this is what affected him. Isn't it interesting? I need to give you some more details on that as we peruse down the lane here on America Tonight. So here's what the story was done by Peter Herman, who actually has been a guest on the show before. But anyway, Peter Herman in his story says that the prisoner who was in the van with Gray told investigators that he could hear him banging against the walls and believes he was intentionally trying to hurt himself. That guy is in jail, and he was separated by, you know, from Gray by a metal partition and could not see him. So his statement is part of, it's contained in an application for a search warrant, which is sealed by the court. The Washington Post got the information under the condition that the prisoner wasn't named because the person who provided it feared for the inmate's safety. Well, yeah, if the whole city's exploding over this, do they really want the narrative to change? So this document was written up, of course, by a police investigator in Baltimore, and it is a little bit of, as Peter Herman says, a glimpse of what might have happened inside the van after all. Now, is there any other kind of evidence to back up the prisoner? No, because he couldn't see. But he could hear, and he knew something was going on, and that's what it seemed like to him. Didn't even say seemed, that it was. Gray was found unconscious when the van got to the police station. He had a spinal injury. He died a week later, and that touched off this firestorm in Baltimore. Which, so far, the worst day has been Monday, the riot, where you had hundreds and hundreds of angry people torching buildings and looting stores and pelting the cops with rocks. Now, police say they don't know whether Gray was injured during the arrest or during his 30-minute ride in the van, so the local police and the U.S. Justice Department, naturally, are in the investigative mode. This is what they do when something like this happens. So, the family has come out and said, we disagree with any implication that Freddie Gray severed his own spinal cord. We question the accuracy of the police reports we've seen so far, including the police report that says Mr. Gray was arrested without force or incident. So anyway, the Baltimore police, and this is going to head into the weekend, wrap up this investigation on Friday. Then they turn the results of that over to the state's attorney's office. They'll decide whether to come up with an indictment or not. Six police officers, including a lieutenant and a sergeant, have been suspended. Boy, oh boy, it's, you know, the Friday report's going to be huge. Huge. I mean, were there flaws in what the police did, how they handled it, if they chased him through a housing project and then arrested him, and then they found a switchblade clipped to the inside of his pants, and, you know, they say that the officers ignored his pleadings for medical help and didn't secure him with a safety belt or a harness in the back of the van. That's why they keep referring to the safety belt, because of the fact that he was trying to hurt himself, perhaps. There was no safety belt. It's a strange deal. But there is so much more to this story. It is not, on face value, it is much different than what it really is. So the van stopped three times when Gray was inside. The first to put him in leg irons, because the driver described him as irate. Then he was still combative, made a second stop, asked an officer to help check on Gray. And that's when they say they found him on the floor and put him back on the seat without any kind of restraint. The third stop was to put the other prisoner, who was accused of violating, I guess, a protective order, that was to put the other prisoner in, right? So the van was then driven six blocks to the Western District Station. And he was taken out from there to a hospital, and then he died. And this is now what's happened in the wake of that. So, the police union president says the officers aren't reading the new policies updated to meet new national standards because they think they're the same rules they already know, with only cosmetic changes. The updates are supposed to be read out during pre-shift meetings. So that's the whole thing. Now they're supposed to read these new rules, and they're not paying attention to them. So is there something in here that happened? And this, in flushing this out, this is part of that war over who was right. What's so strange is the policy that they had written before, which goes back to 1997, they used kind of boxy wagons that they called ice cream trucks. They had a metal bar that prisoners had to hold during the ride. Seatbelts were later put in, but it was up to their discretion whether to use them or not. So let's see what they find with the rest of this investigation. But, you know, there's always 10 sides to the story. And certainly this side is very plausible. Intentionally trying to hurt himself, get out of the situation, or just go to the hospital, not wanting to go to the police station. But how do you explain all the rattling around in the van? There isn't a great explanation at this point. And what would have happened, I mean, here's the other thing. What would have happened if there was some tape, but he wasn't injured and taken to the hospital out of that van? What would we be talking about? Would we be talking about anything? Or no, would it not be the same deal that it is now? Something to think about. Absolutely, because that changes the story. See, it's that easy. Just a word or two, an affidavit or two gone awry, a misunderstanding, a miscommunication of what happened could change the story entirely, which is crazy to think about. Crazy to think about. In fact, coming up later in the show, we'll do our mailbag hit as we always do. But I want to read you this one that I got from Jake in Austin, who says, Kate, the more I read about Freddie Gray, the more depressing it gets. We are walking beyond a slippery slope. We have slipped. We're frantically flailing our arms and our legs, trying to get on terra firma. So lots of conclusions have been drawn, but not so much about Freddie Gray. Only events that concerned him and led up to what happened to him. But I think mistakes were made all around the board. And once the Department of Justice does their investigation, I don't know that people will be shocked, but they may be surprised at what they hear. Might be surprised at what they hear. All right, and finally, as we get ready to kick it to a really fascinating interview about how does UNICEF respond to events like Nepal and how can they possibly make children feel comfortable in a crisis situation. You're going to find out about that in just a few minutes. I'll tell you what. The last thing I'll leave you with in this segment is this. I mean, there's so much crazy happening that I could fill up an hour. I can fill up an hour with crazy, but I'm going to give you this one. A Florida guy, a doorbell, and a dispute. So an 82-year-old man was arrested after he grabbed the neighbor's neck when they started going at it, and this was because of the doorbell. So he spent a night in jail. The doorbell, I guess here's what happened. The doorbell rang whenever his doorbell rang. The victim, Diana Willis Morse, says she was shaken by the episode, which happened at Century Village Retirement Community in West Boca. Oh, my. So you know what happened. Somehow, the two doorbells go off at the same time. He can't take it anymore. He reaches for the jugular, and the rest is history. Hang with us.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Attention taxpayers, if you've received a notice from the IRS or state, do not ignore it. It's also a big mistake to try and handle your tax problem on your own. If you owe back taxes, it's a fact that the government has the power to take everything you own, including your home, business, wages, savings, and your freedom. But here's the good news. There's a special toll-free tax hotline set up especially for you. This tax hotline will tell you about new programs that are geared to help you dramatically settle, reduce, or eliminate what you owe. But you have to call now. Take down this number or put it in your cell phone. But call 877-345-7645. That's 877-345-7645. When you call, you'll get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate back taxes, including penalties and interest. You can also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you've been entered into a payment plan but can't make the payments. Don't make the big mistake in thinking you can ignore or handle your tax problem on your own. You can stop the collection process immediately at 1-877-345-7645. That's 1-877-345-7645. 1-877-345-7645.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
The situation that we're seeing in Nepal, I've talked about it. I know many people from the Kathmandu area, as I've spent some time with travel agency where I had some buddies who were placing people in that country and were from there. So we see the death toll and the destruction and how awful it is. And then it's the aftermath and what happens then. Lisa Sarkowski joins us. He's the VP of Humanitarian Emergencies and Executive Communications for the U.S. Fund for UNICEF. Lisa, thanks for spending time with us on America Tonight.
Thanks for having us, and thanks for the coverage you've been providing to this emergency.
So what's the first thing that happens? You know you're going to be called upon, you see some horrific thing happens, and then what's the chain of command? You get a phone call and everybody starts to rally around, because it sure seems like you move mountains very quickly.
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, you know, we've had a lot of experience in responding to crises throughout the world. And one of the things that's built into UNICEF's response is sort of an analysis at the end of any emergency response and an improvement. And so if there are ways that we learn from past emergencies, for example, in this case, first priority is to make sure staff are okay to the extent that that's possible. And there were very bad communications, as you know. Communications basically were shut down and damaged or destroyed because of the impact of the earthquake. But assuming staff are okay, there's a plan in place to quickly begin to contact partners to mobilize a response. In this case, we have a regional hub right in Kathmandu, so we did have stocks pre-positioned for medical supplies, some water purification and things like that. It was not nearly what would be needed at this scale, but at least there were some stocks ready at hand to just begin distributing in the hours following the earthquake.
So with the medical supplies and the water purification, you know that there's going to be problems with water automatically. And
absolutely,
that's one of the things that you worked on a long time ago, right? I'm sure you've perfected some of those methods.
Absolutely. And, you know, immediate needs right now, of course, there's a life-saving response going on. You've got to obviously try to locate any survivors and then provide medical assistance to those who are in great need. And right in tandem with that life-saving response is the prevention of a secondary catastrophe, which would be the result of waterborne diseases or, you know, lack of hygiene. And people are in open spaces right now. They're living, you know, some, if they're lucky, have a tarp or some sort of a shelter from the sun and the rain, but they're enclosed in places with no latrines or adequate water supply for washing or drinking. And so that obviously becomes critically important, as you note, in the response.
Yeah, how hard is it to get people in there? Because then, of course, that's the other thing, getting other supplies to them. You know, I know a lot of times, especially in remote areas, you have drops. Will it come to that where there's drops in certain areas?
You know, I'm not sure if that would be necessary. Again, it depends. I mean, as you're noting, there are certainly areas that they're not even reaching yet in terms of an assessment because these villages are very rural. Infrastructure has been so damaged. So I wouldn't rule that out. I would say, though, you know, that's not always the best course if you can avoid it because sometimes it's the accuracy is not as good as a delivery would be. And obviously there's going to be a human touch that's needed here as well in terms of medical support and supplies that can't be managed through a drop, if you will.
So when somebody makes an assessment, it can be UNICEF or somebody else, obviously. Is there a channel to get information to you to say, hey, listen, this is what we're seeing, here's what we need, because you have to be able to assess that as well.
Absolutely. Well, the good thing, again, with UNICEF is that we tend to keep statistics in every single country where we work. So when something happens, we know, for example, how many children. We knew the moment this earthquake struck that 40% of the population was children. And so you extrapolate and you figure out, okay, so then our response will be, you know, how many of those children were under five, you know, and how many, you know, we can also figure out roughly how many pregnant women would there be? How many nursing women would there be? And of course, because our focus is women and children, we would then be able to start the supply pipe, to mobilize the supply pipeline, because a lactating woman may have special needs versus, you know, the general population. Same with infants and newborns. We can sort of predict that the moment something like this happens. And anyway, in terms of mobilizing, this all, again, it happens within moments, and it is based on, you know, this longstanding, you know, work in the country, knowing the population, and also having the channels of delivery and partners on the ground who can, you know, get the stuff where it needs to go as quickly as possible. Now, all of us are hampered by, you know, a loss of communications and or a damaged infrastructure. I mean, those are things that are really hard to work around no matter how much experience you have or, you know, how fast you are. But again, there's pre-planning involved, and to the extent we can work around these things, we do, or find alternatives. You know, we're already landing supply planes. We have a global warehouse in Copenhagen that was immediately packing planes with the necessary supplies so that as soon as we were able to land the planes, they were getting in. And again, this is where the priority is, you know, getting these supplies in, you know, making sure there's clearance for humanitarian workers to do what they need to do. Also, I think you raised a good point in that, you know, it's about coordination. You can't just, you have to coordinate. And again, this is skilled people who've been working and to some extent, anticipating disasters. So there has to be a coordinated response. One must be in contact with the government, for example, which is leading the response, and then all of the NGO actors, whether they're international or local, and the UN and UNICEF are schooled in doing this and making sure that, you know, we're not duplicating efforts, that we're complementing what's being done as much as this is possible in the aftermath of such a major, you know, earthquake.
Yeah, that's great, not duplicating the efforts. And you mentioned that in talking about Copenhagen and the supply center and talking about the stocks in the beginning. So having those statistics is so vital, right? All that preliminary work that's been done over the years, because you know to have certain things in certain areas.
Exactly. I mean, and it's funny, I'm glad you're raising this point, because it's sometimes people think it's boring and they don't want to talk about the statistics and the data keeping, because that isn't as, you know, front and center as, you know, delivering water and sanitation and nutrition and healthcare. What is absolutely critical part of what we do. Otherwise, we'd be guesstimating, and that wouldn't be serving children, no matter what the response was. And I can tell you, like, the preliminary assessment was done in coordination with the government, and that has to be coordinated so that everybody's getting the same information. We know that, for example, 80% of schools and health centers were damaged in the regions that were hit, and we know what that's going to mean, not just, you know, today, but 3 months from now, and what are we going to do to mitigate that? You know, kids can't be out of school. People are often surprised to know that one of our frontline responses becomes education, and that's because kids who have endured something like this, number one, the psychosocial benefits of being in an organized setting that's safe, that's therapeutic, that's stimulating, that's with their peers. You know, kicking around a soccer ball has more benefits than you might imagine in the aftermath of something like this, where kids just have that chance to be normal. And you know, by nature, kids are extremely resilient and they can overcome a lot of things, but it's our job to make sure that they have whatever assistance we can provide to normalize this experience as much as possible. You have to kind of put yourself in the mindset of a four-year-old who, like, maybe perhaps saw people die, maybe saw her home collapse, her community, her very community collapses. You imagine that? We talk to our kids and they have nightmares about things, and this is a real-life nightmare for a little kid. I mean, they actually see their structures around them disappear, and then the earth continues to shake with aftershocks, and, you know, all of the grown-ups around them are in distress, and, you know, everything's collapsed. So you have to kind of get down at that level and imagine what it's like. And of course, life saving is first on the list, and preventing a secondary catastrophe. But then right behind that, we have to, you know, and the quicker we do an intervention with psychosocial, we're already doing it, you know, at a mass scale through PSAs and things like that. It's the better the recovery. That's what experience tells us. But certainly education, we do something called school in a box, which is what it sounds like. It's a big metal box. It's everything needed for a temporary classroom that can be set up. And we use these all around the world in the aftermath of a crisis. And it's really meant to be an interim way to get kids into a, even if it's under a tree in the middle of, you know, a debris field, you know, it's a place where kids can go and they start that normalcy and they start having a routine, and the parents can go about trying to do what they need to do and know that their kids are in a safe place and being looked after. I think there's one other thing on the heels of water and sanitation and immunizations and things of that nature, and that's child protection. And again, it's not always something obvious, but with our focus being so you know, narrow on children and what they need, it's obviously in the wake of something like this, and we've seen it in Haiti, we've seen it in other places. You know, it's so easy to separate from a parent when something like this happens. And so we are always extremely concerned about unaccompanied kids and, you know, rounding them up, identifying them, at least for lack of a better way of saying it, you know, almost doing an inventory, if you will, of, and holding on to those kids and keeping them safe until we can reunite them with their parents if that's possible, and if not, with a family member, what have you. But, you know, there's so many kids who are wandering around, they're dazed, because some of them can't even speak, and we saw that with Haiti, too. You know, they couldn't, they're too young to verbalize who they are or what happened to them. And, you know, so we've really got to keep a close eye on that and make sure that we are caring for them, you know, yeah, exactly, until we can get them to a safer place.
Wow, crazy. We're going to get out the numbers and the ways people can help throughout the show. Lisa Zarkowski, UNICEF efforts, thanks so much. Tremendous information. Appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thanks for having us.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
By now, you may have heard a bit about bitcoins, but did you know bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
But that's the whole tragic point, my friends. What would I do if I could suddenly feel and to know once again?
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope you are shaking it out in those nooks and crannies. In other words, doing well. We're going to square the circle here with one of my favorite things that we do on this show with a little segment I like to call Fruits and Nuts, Shred It and Bingo.
Bingo!
All right, we have our man Nathan Reeder stepping forward into the light, our technical director. How you doing, Nathan?
Light, what is that?
Do you like dark rooms? Do you like your, is like your abode, is your crib dark? In other words, not a lot of light in there?
Oh, the bedroom has it. Unless the lamp is on, there should be no leaks of this beautiful sun that we're having coming in there. No.
Nothing.
Well, you... I mean, I have the opposite schedule of most people, so it's nice to sleep in the dark. It's nice to try to trick my body.
Right. And so I relate to that, too. But I think I always liked it that way. I don't like a vampire. I don't like the light in my face either. So I don't want anything to come through. I don't want anything. I have heavy, you know, I have heavy curtains. I don't want anything to come through.
Oh, yeah.
So speaking of sleep, it's perfect to start in this direction because the Yellow Spa in Midtown Manhattan goes a step beyond what traditional spa services offer. You'll like this. If you want to come in and catch some Z's, what you can do, you can go to this room called the Yellow Cabin. They call it Yellow Cab for short, for the city that never sleeps, right? So nappers can relax in a zero-gravity reclining chair and choose from a variety of colored lights or complete darkness to find the perfect sleep mode. The cost is $1 a minute.
Mm-hmm.
$1 a minute. And we know 70 million Americans suffer from sleep disorders. It's spending about $32 billion a year to try to get some shut-eye. Would you pay a buck a minute to go into a spa to get some shut-eye?
Not without a massage and then the accompanying 15 to 20 minutes they let you lay there.
I agree with you. Massage sounds better.
Yeah.
Massage sounds better, definitely. All right, so we're not going to pay a buck a minute just to be in a room that
But congrats to them for figuring out how to get a buck out of somebody, because someone will pay that.
Somebody will pay that, you know, absolutely.
They'll pay to get hugs, too.
You know, yeah, that's true, isn't it?
Put it together.
I gotcha. Hugs. Hugs and...
hugs and hugs naps.
Exactly. Hugs and apps. Exactly. All right. So how about this? YouTube's biggest stars are celebrating the site's 10th anniversary. Wow. YouTube comes about and it starts slowly. They had boring things on YouTube in the beginning, if you remember. Now YouTube is everything. I mean, it's crazy. Everybody wants millions of people to watch them do whatever it is because, frankly, sometimes it turns into big bucks. And now they've done what other people have done, and they celebrate milestones. So you have at the celebration, like Tyler Oakley, the slow-mo guys, Dude Perfect, and they're part of the personalities.
weren't we the person of the year at one time? Didn't Time give us the person of the year for being the YouTube content, basically?
Yes.
2008 or something?
Yes.
2006.
Yes. A long time ago.
Yep. Well,
crazy. Is it Shredded? Is it Shredded? Is it Fruits and Nuts or is it Bingo?
Shredded. I mean, it's about time for some of those internet companies that used to be young to not be young anymore and have parties about it.
That's right, because you have to, you know, when you celebrate things, and that's how people get on the map. I mean, look at the four-letter network, ESPN. They do it all the time. They started an award ceremony, for goodness sake, called the ESPYs, to hand out awards for the best highlights and the best interview and the best whatever, the best college football game. I mean, it's
when
crazy.
When were the ESPYs started?
Oh, they've been around for at least a decade.
And
they're
big. How long has ESPN been around?
Over 25 years. Okay. Yeah, so see? So you see, everything they touch is, they're about branding. Everything that they touch becomes a brand and really usually spirals in the right direction, and that's an example of it. We'll create an award and give out awards to people that we already cover, but it'll be a big deal. It'll be red carpet. It'll be in New York or wherever, and we'll make a really big deal about winning an ESPY, and it becomes one of these things that people watch.
Award shows are so cute.
Yeah, award shows are interesting, aren't they?
Yep.
How about this? Eating sugar may quiet stress signals in the brain. That's led some people to seek comfort by consuming more sweets and making a very hard habit to break. How do you break it? You get really pulled into this. They did a two-week experiment. 19 women drank 3 beverages a day, sweetened either with real sugar or aspartame, which is the substitute, which is not good. Researchers did MRI brain scans to see how the sweets affected the women. They found that sugar, not the aspartame, triggered activity in a part of the brain that involved reacting to stress. So how about that? Sugar, the MRI says that sugar might have interrupted the normal response to stress in the brain. So what does that mean?
Shredded. I've seen this work since I've been a kid. Yeah, shred that. I mean, because this isn't anything new. It's more like it was like a negative version of why is? I mean, it's like more for aspartame than gross, dude.
Yeah, gross. I agree with you. All right, so I'm gonna say same thing. What did you say? Shred it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a shred it. It's a shred it. All right, this is sad, but I'm going to put it in this category, especially as somebody who crossed over this bridge so many times in my life. All of a sudden, the George Washington Bridge, sadly, Nathan, has been suicide central. There have been 4 suicides in 9 days where people just can't hang on for different reasons. They get out on the bridge and they jumped. The latest was a 54-year-old man, Kenneth Bell from Long Branch. He jumped from the upper level just a day ago. Witnesses say he drove his car on the upper roadway from the New Jersey side, got out, climbed over the railing, and jumped. Then earlier, there was a woman, the previous week, just a few days before that, there was a woman in her 20s. She took off her shoes, jumped from the north side of the bridge. Oh, so sad. So sad. What do you say?
Bridges are definitely a place to do it and get popularized with each time.
Somebody does it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, guys, more than anything, if you know someone hurting, just give them a phone call. If you haven't talked to them a while, that really helps.
I think so, too. I think that's why I'm going to say shred it for that. It's, if we could just shred that information and not encourage anybody to do that. And maybe that's what happens. Somebody feels distraught, and it's, of course, it's a public record and fact, but somebody reads that, and it may just make them think, oh, boy, I feel so distraught, too. Same thing. All right, this is scary, and I've been to this place many times, Marco Island Beach. There was a guy, 6-year-old guy, who was there and ended up having to go to the hospital. He was in 2 feet of water, and people saw him when a shark swam up and bit him several times on the leg.
Ooh.
It's unclear what kind of shark is responsible, but, I mean, listen, he was in only 2 feet of water, and the shark was about 4 feet in length. Oh, that's...
Where was this again?
Marco Island. That's awful. I mean, I'm going to say that's scary.
Yeah.
That's going to make you want to not go in the water.
Yep.
This is, and of course, we're talking, you know, Sarasota, they've been talking about this. We're talking about Florida Gulf Coast. A lot of people listening to us there. So I'm going to say, wow, be careful. I'm going to say fruits and nuts. What about you?
I'm going to say bingo because they know about that stuff.
Just don't go in the water at 2 feet. That's so frightening. Oh, shark encounters. Pretty common in Florida, it seems, lately. All right, thanks, Nathan. Fruits and nuts, shredded, and bingo in the books.
Yep.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.